And I begin dreaming till I see Marianne walk away. I see my Marianne walking away.
Steel City Music.
That's the, so you're going to be the hands-on guy that night.
I think so.
The show.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. No.
Gene says,
oh,
right?
Please. What does Gene say?
Gene also wants. I don't think Gene is going to be happy if, right? He needs one of those guys. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. But I'll definitely be the go-to guy in some sort of capacity.
All right.
And yeah. I look forward to working with them. Yeah.
I don't want to have to be the guy that does all the running around. You know,
no, you should come down, sit down and enjoy the
show. That's never happened my entire existence.
You should celebrate your legacy with the Killjoys.
No,
too, man.
There'll be no celebrating my legacy with the Killjoys in any capacity.
You're going to be throwing fries at the band.
Every time, it doesn't matter what I do in life. If there's a Killjoy show, everything stops. It doesn't matter. The only way I could get married was I had to invite all the Killjoys to my wedding. Just to make sure they didn't book a show, so I didn't have to cancel my wedding.
So let me ask you this quickly. You've worked with these guys for so long. Every time, you know, you see these shows being posted about the Killjoys, aside from the fact that it brings back a lot of memories, it must also kind of rekindle something about, you know, hoping that they will continue doing more.
Oh, you know what? You know, honestly, I'm going to tell you, I'm being painfully truthful here. I carried around a lot of resentment to the Killjoys for years because I've reconciled it, is because when you see a group of people that are really talented and you're not, and they can do things that you can't, it pisses me off. So here are my best friends, are like family to me, and it's just like, what do you mean you're shutting this down? What do you mean we're not doing this anymore? You guys can be capable of so much. But the older you get, you realize that life isn't the way you think it is, and people need time to do other things, right? But the thing about the Killjoys is they've never broken up. It's not like they've never really just like, well, we're just going to stop this for a little while. And then so many years later, I got them to do a couple shows. One was actually a tribute thing at the Casbah for Jamie Tennant, the program director. It was like, it was Jamie Tennant night, you know, an appreciation of him. We did a night there, and there were some other shows. But with them, I've learned that you got to let people live their lives, and if they want to get back to doing this, they'll do this. Because it's just terribly frustrating to see a talented band like that not performing and not doing their thing and it took a while. And I said, excuse me, you know, and I said this to my wife and other people, it took the idiot Gene almost dying on me, you know, I think for everyone to realize that, hey, you know, life's too short. We should really be doing what we like to do. And because there's so many other miserable things in this world, and we all have to do it, you know, and we do these miserable things, but there are these little things in life that we enjoy. And for the Killjoys, it's that ongoing argument of what's going to go into the set. Really, like, are we doing a 45? And then it's just like, is there an encore? There can't be an encore. Oh my God, do they want an encore? Like, and I live for that. Like, I live for those conversations about.
Right. And life is good when that's the problem, right?
When life is good is when you're trying to figure out how does this song go again, you know? And like, you're looking like, you wrote it.
Right.
You know, like those kind of conversations are fantastic, right? And for me and others, like other people, they have those memories attached to the band of a certain song, a certain festival, a certain show, whatever. For me, nothing will get any better than being in a van with them or on a tour bus before or after the show, of sitting there and listening to the nonstop nonsense out of their mouths. It's just funny.
The four of you should take an HSR on Saturday to Bridgeworks.
Oh, yeah. That'll be super. Yeah. I could tell you. Gene's like, I'm not hooking no trailer up on the back of no bus. I'm telling you right now.
Right?
It's not going to happen. But the show will be a lot of fun, you know? And the fact that Luke is on the bill is utterly amazing. That
so that was something that I brought to the table when we were thinking about like kind of constructing the show. And I really knew that, as you know as well, that Luke is a big fan of the Killjoys. And I thought marrying the kind of like the older with the new kind of crowd was important. But I just liked the aesthetic of having Luke being part of it. And those guys agreed. They thought it was something that was really important in terms of just marrying those two camps musically. And I think that's one thing that, you know, we have the ability to do sometimes as promoters is put these shows together and introduce music from, you know, either the opener to the headlining crowd or vice versa. And I think that is
a great point you're making. And I don't mean to cut you off, but I'd like to bring something up that someone, I got some messages from people like, you know, there were bands saying, oh, who do I got to talk to get on this Killjoy show? And I'm like, talk to Lou Molinaro, but you're not getting on the Killjoy show. Well, why not? and I'm not going to name the band's names or anything like that. Yeah. It's just like, it's not about you.
Right.
Like this takes 4 or 5 years to get these guys back up on stage and have some fun. You don't add anything to that night. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not being mean, but you don't really add anything. You're not bringing anything to the night, you know? But other messages I got was just like, well, how come Rusty and Tristan Cyanek isn't on the bill or this band, that band? I'm going, you should be a promoter. You should really have put this show together. What a great bill you just proposed. Now,
right.
Having said that, how do you bill it? Who's going on when? It's no longer a Killjoy show because all those other bands are equally great in their own right, you know?
Right.
So that's a whole can of worms. And then when I found out about Luke being on it, I thought it was great because now there's a story, right? Everything has to have a story. And with Luke got his dad got him a guitar. He learned to play with just strumming with his thumb and he went to Avalon Music Academy. And in the interview I had with him recently, he's like, my Troublecock was my first guitar teacher.
Yeah.
And he would bring songs into Mike and go, here's this song, that song. And Mike would just look at him and go, you know, not say this is terrible or anything. Like, okay, I'm going to show you how to play that song. Like whatever one they liked. But Luke said you could see that smile on Mike's face when all of a sudden he's like, here's this song. And Mike's like, oh, you like this. There's something Mike was into. So there's the whole, like, Mike was very nurturing and making sure and being very positive with Luke to show him, you know, like, whatever Mike went through with his music career, ups, downs, whatever, he never discouraged a young kid of, like, go for it, man. Love this. Right. Learn this. You know, push towards your passion. You know, and would we have had a Dirty Nil if say, you know, Luke had a different guitar teacher? Maybe not.
You see, that's the thing that I always have rolling in my melon all the time when I, you know, when you get a little bit cryptic and you start thinking about these things more cerebrally, you start thinking about, you know, had it not been for Mike that was so nurturing and so positive in regards to teaching a guy like Luke Bentham these songs that Luke wanted to play, I'm pretty sure that it opened up Luke's doors of creativity because he's got the foundation to all these songs and music that he really wanted to learn. And had it not been anyone like Mike that offered that opportunity for Luke to learn these songs, you hit the nail right on the head.
You know,
would there be a Dirty Nail right now?
Would there? 100%. Yeah. Luke and I had a conversation about that. You always have to look towards the positive, even though you had negatives happen in your life with your career, whatever in life. With the Dirty Nil, he and Kyle and the other gentleman that's in the band, I forget his name right now, but they always, even though they something wrong will happen, they're like, yeah, but this and this great things have happened. Keep going, keep pushing forward, that sort of vibe.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, it was, we were thankful that Luke said yes. It came, you know, in regards to timing, Luke had to kind of weigh out different things in the Dirty Nil camp, especially the fact that they were going to be releasing a new single So that had to take precedence. But then Luke made it work because he really wanted to be on the bill with the Killjoys. So yeah, that's the one thing about, you know, working with someone like Luke and working with a camp like the Killjoys. The Killjoys get a lot of respect from artists who, you know how important they are. So Luke made it happen, and we were thankful, and we were thrilled that we were able to add him to the bill. And with no disrespect, as you said, to other people who want to be on this bill, it's just the nature of the business. You can't have it all. And sometimes, you know, the stage only allows so many people to be on it. And that was the case for this show.
Well, it might even be a lesson to learn in communication and building relationships with people. Maybe something that's been said in your class is that find out who's putting on the shows, get to know them and why they're putting on the shows, and timing on putting together a show means sometimes that you could be a part of the story if it fits. You know, like if it makes sense, then there is no disrespect. There's, you know, well, you always want to be put in the best light. And that's one thing about Luke that I enjoyed, because I was all ready to give him was, you know, because here we are, Bridgeworks, and you're going to come out and you're going to do an acoustic thing. And in my brain, when you say acoustic, I always think of, like, you know, he's going to have an acoustic
singer-songwriter stuff.
The room holds 500. Everyone wants to, like, you know, rock out, you know, and like, cause I always, like, in my brain, the anxiety is all of a sudden, to reference the Corktown again, I'm right back at the Corktown, and, you know, it's like the early 90s, and Harper is performing. Hats Roy off Harper. To Harper, Roy Harper. And, I have to walk around the room and shush drunks, because
right.
Roy Harper's on stage.
Yeah.
Right. And it's all, you know, like, here it is. You know, there's a song about him and Pink Floyd. And I got, you know, the Toronto manager agents at the bar, and they're all like, you know, Jamie, you got to get this room under control. And I'm like, I keep telling you, you're in Hamilton. You know, it doesn't translate. Acoustic doesn't translate in a bar sometimes. And then, and Luke's just like, when I talked to Luke about it, Luke's like, oh no, I'm playing electric.
Yeah, that was one thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's like Luke's strapping on the electric guitar.
Because it's going to be anthem rock. It's going to be Dirty Nils songs. I'm just guessing at the set list, which would be sweet if he would do September Girls. Alex Chilton.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the Killjoys groups. Because I read the post about three acts that influenced the Killjoys over the years. And you posted.
Yeah, those three bands or three albums.
Big Star, Replacements, and Pet Sounds album from Beach Boys, especially on G's part. You know, like, so having Luke go out and do those anthem, Dirty Nil, and maybe some covers, to me, is like a great setup for the night.
I think his encore should be Dana soaked in Raven Drool.
If he did that, that kid's cred would go up so high in my books. I know I'm a fanboy now, but oh my God, that kid would crush me. I want to just out and out adopt him. Just go, I don't know about your parents, but I need in on this action. You need to be my son if you did that. That would be the best.
If I just could say my piece.
around because I don't care, but we'll see.
Thank you.
tuning in to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Jamie Gunner-Smith, having a laugh with the great Lou Molinaro, King of Fun. December 10th, the Killjoys, Luke Bentham from the Dirty Nil will be performing. And is there any other surprises on that night do you know of?
No, not that I know of. I know that tickets are moving. You can get them at eventbrite.ca. And there are going to be hard copy tickets that we are going to put out for definitely Dr. Disc, but we're also hoping to give Brad at Into the Abyss some tickets to sell as well as Scott Bell at Revolution Records. So we'll be making an announcement about that once we get the logistics set so we can get them printed and set up. You know, I have to tell you, like, as much as you want to advance in this industry, there's still a lot of people that kind of hold back the technology and say, nah, I still want a hard copy. And they will sometimes want the comfort of almost risking not buying it online and risking on having it sell out, because they still rely on the old school methods of buying tickets, you know, that they have in a tangible mean, right? Yeah, it drives me crazy, but it is what it is.
It is, right? Yeah, it's called the walk-up crowd, and it's an older generation. And I get it. You want that ticket because you could say, I was at that show.
Right.
That goes here, and this means something to me, whereas on a phone and getting it scanned means nothing.
When I went to see Roxy Music, I was so hoping for the hard copy ticket, but they didn't. So I just took screenshots of my digital ticket, but it's not the same, right?
Yeah. Did you get scalpers outside? Because I heard that the t-shirts were cheaper for Roxy Music.
No, you heard about that, eh? Yeah. So no, I bought a ticket. I bought a t-shirt the true legit way of standing in the line after the show for about 30, 40 minutes,
yeah,
just to spend $55 on a t-shirt. And then Andy Richardson says, dude, how much did you spend on that t-shirt? And yeah, I said, 55 bucks. He says, and then he holds his up and he goes, 20. And they're exactly the same.
Yeah, what a jerk.
He starts freaking out.
What a jerk. Yeah. And the funny part is, you could have bought like 40 of them at Giant Tiger for $3 a pop.
Where it just says Rocks Music, yeah, 2 X's.
But it, you know what it meant though, right? So like to you, that's special. And save a little, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right. And you can lie to say that you were there even though you weren't.
Oh, yeah,
right?
I just faded. It's all right. It'll all work itself out.
It's awesome. It. That's funny.
So are we done promoting for December?
I just want to say December 16th, the Rebels are going back to their old haunt.
Which one? What are you talking about? Oh, the Corktown.
Yeah, that really meant a lot to Mickey. He had a blast at the Bridgeworks. We were talking about doing a Christmas show. Mickey's anxious to be playing a lot lately, and I love that. And he and I were just recently talking, I guess, you know, maybe in late summer. And he said, you know, the Rebels should do a show at the Corktown. It's been years since we played there. And I was like, wow, that'd be a great idea. So December 16th, the Rebels are playing the Corktown with the Berettas that are opening up. And again, Mickey was Mickey likes being an architect to some of the shows when you give him the chance. And he always likes putting younger bands on the bill.
Yes,
and he's a big fan of Katie Bully's band. So he wanted to get them involved. And I know it means a lot to Mickey to return back to the Corktown, and just talking to him one on one and talking. And you're part of this thread as well of the fabric of the Rebels playing the Corktown so many years over the years.
But the funniest, I have so many funny incidences dealing with the Rebel shows, and nothing but good funny things, like walking around putting up, you know, 2,500 posters, next day finding all of them crumpled up outside the Corktown.
Oh
yeah, I was like, nice, that's, thank you so much, that was whoever tore down all of my posters and brought them back to the club. Yeah, that was, I laughed at that. Why? Because it's me, you know. Just, you know, getting 2,000 posters made and Glenn Smith putting the wrong date on them. That was good. Thank you. Oh.
That's funny. That's funny.
Always proofread before you run off to 2,000 posters, Glenn. Please.
Yeah.
You know,
that would, yeah, yeah. Another class.
Another classic that goes down in my annals. But the Rebel shows were always a lot of fun in the Corktown, and they would always sell it 1, 2, 3 nights if you needed them to. But they would go back to the Corktown. They could sell out three nights there. They could fill Dallas Rocks, which was out here in the east end of Hamilton years ago. So they have such a rich tradition in music and people like a fan base. People just love them. And I'm going to tell you a quick story about the Rebels. One of the greatest bit of promotion I've ever seen as a kid was the Forgotten Rebels sticker. I'm not kidding, Lou. I would see them all over Hamilton. They were done in red, and they were printed everywhere. And Mickey told me one night years ago, I said, "Man, I see these things everywhere." And then when I went across the country, I saw them everywhere across the country in Canada. And Mickey was like, "Oh, that's because we ran off 25,000 of them, if not more. See, what you could do is you pay less money, and they're all in red. So I would give them out to everybody, and then they would just put them everywhere. And I'm not joking; they were in every washroom across Canada. They were on like anywhere there was white, they would stand out. They were stuck on absolutely everything. You could not go anywhere in Canada at one point without seeing a Forgotten Rebels sticker. I was like, the power of the sticker. You know, that's pre-internet. Like that's like."
Yeah,
that is amazing. And it was just like it always resonated with me of like you always remember that name, the logo, how it was shaped, you know.
Yeah,
and I see it on posters years later. I'm like going, that is some of the best marketing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really simplistic when you think about it, right?
Yeah, but you got to have like, you know, 25,000 to 50,000 of those stickers. Yeah. And you got to have a dedicated crew of people walking around, posting them up everywhere. They're, you know,
and spelled correctly.
And spelled correctly is also another one. You know, the Forgotten Rebels. What?
Gypsy bound, sugar covered in spices. I can't remember my name.
December 16th at the Corktown then.
Yeah.
Friday? Is that a Friday?
With the Brettas.
It's Friday?
It's a Friday evening, Friday.
Okay. When did tickets go on sale for that one?
The tickets went on sale about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, maybe a week before.
Why am I learning about this now? What is my problem?
I did post it on your Steel City page. But
did you?
You've got a lot of you got a lot of stuff happening. That's one thing that I love about. So what excites me right now as a music fan is seeing your page and Ferroni's page and all the work that you guys are doing in regards to promoting like different aspects of it, the traditional vintage era. Plus you're always putting up all sorts of stuff about music, but it's not just shows. It's like things that are happening, you know, kind of like.
I'll tell you what I love about
like current events.
Yeah,
about our city. It's like it's great.
If you want to find out about the history of Hamilton music right now, go to Steel Lore on Facebook. It's fun. Everybody, there's like a bunch of people that post stuff all the time. Old clubs, bands, like all of it. It's all there. It's great. And because you know, there's a certain amount of music legacy that we've been a part of. There's older generations that are posting stuff up too. And it's great to find out about stuff and that attachment, you know, why was this place here? Why was this Duffy's Tavern or anyone, the Progressive Minstrels, Crimson Jimson, when they first started playing, like all these different bands, Harrison Kennedy, Ron and Bob do a great job with that. But over on Steel City Music, I'm always posting. I deliberately do not post the older stuff because it's like I want people who are into art. I want people who are into new music to find out what's going on in the city or Southern Ontario, not just in Hamilton, but I try to post stuff about like around Southern Ontario and new music, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to try to put both together because it would just convolute, you know, like.
It avoids the redundancy of it.
It really does.
But the thing that's really great about Steel City is you could be talking about things that are happening at the Cotton Factory or something that's going on, you know, with regards to an art exhibit or a concert that's happening at the Casbah.
There's so much going on.
And I think that's exactly what I was going to get to is just the fact that you're really basically single-handedly with your site.
I'm going to be honest with you. I get excited when someone else promotes something in Hamilton. I'm like, oh my God, someone else is going to do it too. That's great. Because in case I'm missing something or there should be another one. I mean, you know, before we even started the interview, you said, hey, have you heard what's going on with Rick Taylor? Have you heard from him? Like nothing. Right. And at one time there was a whole bunch of us that was always covering off. And Rick used to write for years in Vue, you know, Lullabies and Razorlands on CFME from certain times he would be on. And we joke, we laugh, we go, but no one's heard from Rick. We don't know.
Like,
but there's someone that could be a contributor to Steel Lore now with his knowledge and memorabilia of writing and like even the mole at West sends stuff in over to Steel Lore,
sure.
That sort of thing.
What are the chances you think that Rick Taylor sold all his photos to Getty Images? What do you think?
I don't. Maybe that might be a good idea. I mean, if they're paying the big dollar, if they're paying the big dollar, that would be great. But in all sincerity, like we need more people to talk about, and there are people are starting to do it again, and it was very hard over the last couple of years, as you know, from COVID. So you know, you have like Hamilton Magazine coming out, you have people starting up blogs again, and even on making like even Spotify lists about Hamilton music. A lot of people have been doing that. I've noticed recently. Which is great, you know, like I love that stuff. But, you know, we do need more people to celebrate what we have going on in this area and in all the arts and what we're capable of and what people should be reminded about, right? Like there's so much stuff going on. Like, Cobalt Connects with Jeremy Freiberger. Winterfest is coming up. This is their third or fourth year doing Winterfest on behalf of the city of Hamilton. You know, you mentioned, you know, even like the Mule Spinner, they've been putting on shows and doing recordings over at the Cotton Factory. The Cotton Factory has a lot of like they do these great events there where they're doing vendors setups, that sort of thing. They do movie shoots there. That's the thing about Hamilton, you know, these places will pop up again and move around. I mean, you know it, you lived it. James Street North was for a while there was the hub of what we were 10, 11 years ago before a lot of stuff started getting taken over and bought, and you know, and then the last anchor for me there was the scene Hollywood, you know.
Yeah.
Once that shut down, I kind of lost my urge to go down there, but there are people still there opening up stuff, you know?
For sure. And that's one thing that I just want to mention about like being in Oshawa right now is Oshawa reminds me of Hamilton circa 2008, 2009. No word of a lie. Like the downtown core now has two cool record shops. It's got a couple of bookshops. It's got some legit vintage places that are not overly expensive. It seems like there's been more attention given. Like the vibe is changing. University students have a residence downtown or a faculty downtown with classes. The college does as well. So it just seems that the overall nature of the downtown core of Oshawa is reminding me a lot of like right before we bought the St. Hollywood. Or the building that we put the St. Hollywood in. And it's kind of cool in a way just to see where this will go. So the Biltmore Theater is like the Bridge Works of Hamilton. The Atria would be like the Casbah of the St. Hollywood or Court Town of Hamilton. So there's a few do-it-yourself places that are taking up shop. There's a couple of residencies similar to the Stonewalls. So there's like these similar things that make you feel very comfortable about, you know, seeing it progress. And I sure hope that it still maintains some sort of sustainability and it really gets more speed because I can only, whether we like to admit this or not, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that people are leaving cities like Toronto, taking up shop in Oshawa and making magic happen. And but I think the reason why they're making this happen is because they know that there's a good footprint already of things that are here already being established, right?
Right, yeah.
There's the infrastructure.
The infrastructure's there, and there was a precedent before, so you know it can happen. There can always be a good positive change for everyone, and Hamilton included. So I guess that might be the happiest way to end our chat.
Yeah,
you know,
Rob Sweeney for mayor.
Rob Sweeney, Rob Schultz, your MP3 of the week, Rob Sweeney for mayor. That's awesome. Okay,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah.
Well, once again, December 10th, Moto Live, Sonic Onion, and Lou Molinaro presents the Killjoys with Luke Bentham from the Dirty Nil is happening. And just you mentioned that the last show of the year that you'll be promoting will be December 16th at the Corktown, the Forgotten Rebels Christmas show, opening up the Berettas.
Yes.
Okay. And respective websites to go to get tickets?
Eventbrite.ca for both. Okay. Let me correct myself here. Ticketweb.ca for the Killjoy show, Eventbrite for the Rebel show. And we're going to be making an announcement this week with hard copy tickets that are going to be available in Hamilton. And you'll definitely be looped in through Steel City Music, Mr. Smith.
Awesome. Thank you, sir, for taking your time out.
Oh, thank you. I always love catching up with you. And it means a lot that we can chat on your show because I love your show.
Thank you, sir. I love your show, too. Lou Molinaro, Lose Control. Catch him on CFMU from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. I was going to say only on CFME, but whatever. We'll put a tag or whatever on the end of that. Thanks, buddy.
Take care, Bal.
Yep.
Steel City Music.
Oh, my God. It's so much fun catching up with Lou. It really is. You know, after our chat, we went on to talk a little bit more, and the joke was, yeah, I mean, we should just do this like once a week, you know, just get on Zoom and just start talking, you know, and like, I think Lou wants to do a podcast. No, Lou doesn't want to do a podcast. Lou doesn't have the time or the attention span to do a podcast. I don't think any of us really do. We try. I know we try, but I don't think we do. Once again, December 10th, Bridgeworks, the Killjoys opening up. The show will be Luke Bentham from the Dirty Nil. You can still grab tickets. And you heard the respective websites, of course, and there'll be some hard copy tickets as well. Also, as he announced, December 16th, it's a Friday, at the Corktown, the Forgotten Rebels with the Berettas doing that show as well. So, there you go. That was the chat. We spun some music. Go buy some music. Punch up the Berettas. Go buy some of their music. Go buy some Gene Champagne and the Unteens music. Go buy some Killjoys music if you can. The Rebels, get them on vinyl. Why not? I don't know, man. Just go buy some music. Go support the bands. and go buy some tickets to shows. Get out and stretch your legs a little bit if you can, right? But put a mask on. Wash your hands. You know, be safe about all of it. And enjoy your life. There you go. Maybe that's the whole thing that I've been getting on lately. Could be the gray and miserable weather that's hitting off my window right now with all the wind. But I'm thinking to myself, self, you got to enjoy life a little bit more. And I want you to do that too. So all those other fun things. All right. Now, stick around. Of course, Lou's show is just...